Rowan Nadkarni is going to join us, of course, writer for Sports Illustrated. Aaron Baines is doing big things. Let's have a listen to some of his best work at the moment.
Curtis Blair will blow the whistles as Baines flips it up and in to begin the ball game.
Shooting 27% on the year, I think.
And you talk about the rebound. Phoenix is not a good offensive rebounding team, so that's one of the other reasons I'm kind of comfortable with this lineup. As Baines knocks down three. Steph had the advantage.
And they're feeding Baines a lot.
Yeah, a lot of love for Aaron Baines. Rowan Nadkarni is a writer for Sports Illustrated. He really has been one of the shining lights in the NBA after his move, of course, over from the Celtics. Rowan.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think he's been, he was a very under-the-radar trade in the offseason during the draft. And the Suns have been one of the biggest surprises in the NBA, and I think he's been a big part of that. It's not even just that he's playing so well right now. It's the fact that he is so committed to his role. He plays so well within the system of what the team wants to do that it's making everyone else, you know, on the roster benefit whenever he's on the floor.
Looking at some of the stats that I suppose we think points, assists and rebounds and blocks are the key stats as we chat with Rowan Nadkarni for Sports Illustrated. But, I mean, Baines really ranks high up in screen assists and picks and the whole lot, doesn't he? He really does use his bulk and size. And as we saw recently, albeit an accident, he took out Steph Curry for 3 months.
Yeah, that's right. I'll say that the thing I appreciate the most about his game, like you mentioned, you know, he sets a screen or a pick on nearly every single offensive possession. He's so committed to that. That's such an underrated skill when you have a big man who's not only a willing screener, but someone who is good at it. It just helps so many other players on offense. He's doing it on the ball. He's doing it off the ball. You know, the entire team benefits when he's on the floor. And he's, you know, teams are kind of daring him to shoot threes. That's kind of what they do. You know, if he sets a screen and pops out to the three-point line, teams will leave him open. And so far this season, he's also made him pay from the three-point line. So he's constantly moving on the floor. He doesn't let the defense rest. He doesn't let the defense ignore him. And that is a large part in what's making him so successful so far.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And it's only midway through the second quarter, and the Suns are on court as we speak against the Lakers. So he's got a big day ahead of him, hasn't he? Because, you know, you're taking on LeBron and Davis, and I think Kuzma's also had a pretty impressive start as well. So he's going to have to be on top of his game, and it's a real good contest because both these franchises have had impressive starts to the NBA season.
No doubt, yeah. It's an early season division battle. I think the Lakers are one game ahead for the division lead right now. It's a good test for the Suns. I think teams are starting to take notice of what they've been doing. I'm sure they have the Lakers' attention. I think for years, teams would overlook Phoenix. That's not going to happen tonight. And I think it's a good test for Phoenix to kind of see, okay, how much progress have we made? They've been giving the Lakers a good fight through 1.5 quarters so far, end of the first quarter with the lead. So I think it's a good test for the Suns to see, you know, how legitimate has this hot start been.
Rowan Nadkarni, writer for Sports Illustrated, is our guest on Afternoons. Tim Gossage in the chair for Jack Heverin. Now, I've been giving the scores out, Rowan, and for the best part, I looked up at the screen and I saw that the Cleveland Cavaliers held sway with, well, for the best part of the entire last quarter. And I looked up and saw that in the end, Philadelphia got up 98-97. Was there a story behind this result and the last couple of plays? Because I'm pretty sure Philadelphia came from behind for almost the entire last quarter.
It was just a really tightly contested game. You know, I don't think Philly is fully gelled yet. They're still figuring things out on offense with all their players. They've obviously had guys also coming in and out of the lineup. So I think Philadelphia's offensive chemistry is not quite there yet. I think what happened in this game, ultimately, Cleveland has been really well coached. They've gotten off to a better start than I think most people have imagined so far. John Beilein, who used to coach at the University of Michigan, now coaching in the NBA, has done a really good job. I think what happened in this game, ultimately, Philadelphia's talent just won out, and their strength is that defense. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when it comes to the fourth quarter in a close game, when they need to mount a comeback like they did tonight, having such a strong defense allows them to do that.
Ben Simmons ended up with 15 points in his 35 minutes. I think this is his first game back from that shoulder strain, but I don't think he scored after halftime, which is even further emphasis on how well the Philadelphia have got up to score that, because I'm pretty sure he was, again, I stand corrected, because I'm only trying to do a radio show and half look at the results as they come through. I don't think he hit the scoreboard after half time.
Yeah, I do think that the beauty of Philly is that they do have a shooter like Josh Richardson, Tobias Harris, Embiid, very big in the fourth quarter. He ended up hitting the game-winning shot. So that's what makes Philly so special. I think, while they are still figuring out their offense, they do have scoring at multiple positions, and they have guys like Embiid, like Horford, like Tobias Harris, like Josh Richardson, who can pick up the slack when someone like Ben Simmons is having an off night.
No doubt. Can I just ask you, from a perspective from the States, and we're chatting with Rowan Nadkarni, writer for Sports Illustrated, how much interest is in our NBL competition over here with LaMelo Ball doing some amazing things, and many believe that he's going to be very close to being the number one pick in the NBA draft? RJ Hampton, of course, who's playing for the Breakers as well. There's a lot of love for the competition over here, where these kids who could go to college have now stepped into the NBL to play against men. What's the feedback you're getting from the NBL in Australia in regards to where these kids are at in their preparation for joining the NBA?
You know, it's interesting, because I remember we interviewed RJ Hampton for Sports Illustrated in the spring, before he made his way over to New Zealand. It's been interesting. I thought there would be more interest, to be honest. You haven't heard much about the league competition itself, but you have heard, especially a lot of talk about the draft guys. That's really what, gets people excited. And I think closer toward the end of the season, when there aren't as many teams who are fighting for a playoff spot, or aren't as many teams who, are still figuring out and the draft stuff ramps up, then we'll start to see more interest in the actual games themselves. Right now, there's certainly talk about guys like LaMelo and RJ and where they would fall in a hypothetical draft if we were to start tomorrow. But I don't know that we'll see the interest in the competition necessarily until, a few more months into the NBA season.
And Didi Lazada absolutely went ballistic on the weekend. So he's already in the draft, as we know, already been drafted. He's a bona fide superstar.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt, yeah. It is just also very interesting to see, I think from our perspective, the different routes available now to guys who want to get drafted and different ways to achieve that stardom, like you said. So that is something that I'm excited about for guys like RJ and LaMelo is, there are other avenues that exist. I think that's better for the game in general if, players from all over the world are playing all over the world. I think that's really good for the growth of the game.
Well, last one for you. Can I just ask you, Rowan, about Mitch Creek? We interviewed him on the show yesterday. He's back in Australia playing for South East Melbourne Phoenix. He certainly has played a couple of course, on short-term contracts in the NBA. What's the vibe on blokes like Mitch Creek? I know there's probably a lot of Mitch Creeks going around or trying to bust into the NBA and full-time gig. We believe he can go to that next level. We believe he is one of the Australians who aren't in the league proper in the NBA. What's your vibe on players like him joining the NBA on a full-time basis beyond this year?
It's interesting. I mean, I do think, again, he's a great story, and I think it would be great for the league to have more players like him succeed. It is tough. It's just obviously the spots are so limited. The scouting internationally, I don't think is good, but it isn't as good as what it is nationally. It's just not as easy. It's harder. I think scouts are still have trouble sometimes gauging against competition they're not used to. I do wonder if eventually the league will maybe try to find a way to, they started these two-way contracts with the G League players. What can they do for teams who maybe have an interest in international guys but don't have a full-time roster spot for them right now, but want to have a hand in their development? Is that maybe the next frontier for what the league can do in terms of player development? Is how do we get the Mitch Craigs of the world, continue to have NBA teams invested in him, even if he's not necessarily on the roster right now? So I applaud the passion. I think it would be great for the NBA if he were to make it. I think it's great when international players succeed in the NBA. I just think that as much success and change as there's been over time, obviously the Giannis Antetokounmpos, the Manu Ginobili of the world, those kinds of people, there's still a lot of progress to be made. And I do wonder if the league will maybe try to take more special attention on how can we keep international players in the fold even when they're playing abroad.
Appreciate your time, Rowan. Plenty of interest in the NBA right here in Australia and, of course, on SEN. Thanks for joining us today.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, there's Rowan Nadkarni, a writer for Sports Illustrated. We'll give you the NBA scores after the 2 o'clock news, which is not too far away.